January 6, 2015, and I'm on the road about a two-hour drive ahead of me. What's their report? There's all this talk about El Nino and all this rain, and, just this drumbeat of, theater, and it was a lie. 3 or 4 days, there was this constant spraying, and then we, I guess, had some moisture come in, and there was some rain yesterday, but it was, up in where I was, in the high desert, there was some rain here, but nothing much, something that should happen a half dozen times a year, but without much fanfare. But in this case, where everything is manufactured and hyped, you're going to have some small precipitation like this. That had been, spoken of as like the 100-year flood and all this bullshit. And it really turned out to be something on the order of, again, a type of storm that you might see without human manipulation a half dozen times a year in dry areas, or at least 3 or 4 times a year. And so not only do you have the area just seeded with whatever they wanted to spray, yesterday on my hike, I did a 10-mile hike in 3.5 hours, which is good for me. Because I stop a bit, massage my head, lie down, or whatever I do. It was 38 degrees and raining and windy, and I didn't have my rain gear, so I was soaked through these lightweight running pants. It was interesting. I thought about not doing it, but it was such a schlep to get to the location And I figured, you know what, if you're moving for 4 hours, you've got some layers on, even if they're not watertight, you can do it. It would be different if I were bivouacking and having to sleep out in the elements without the proper gear, then that would be life-threatening. But I got an hour into it, and I had another hour to, 45 minutes to get down to the creek, and felt a little sketchy. That's my phrase for when you are kind of pushing it into the danger or uncomfortable zone. But I decided just to go for it, and it turned out fine. And halfway into the hike, the rain let up, which is a joke. I've been in storms, and this is no storm. Nothing to be concerned about. But the larger point is that in the course of the raining, despite the wind, because the wind let up once in a while, I heard planes overhead. Let's say the clouds were at, 12 to 8,000 feet, 10 to 14,000 feet, some range there. The planes that are going over were very loud, and must have been just skimming the top of the clouds, because they were, again, twice as close, at least, as they normally are. Normally they're high up, I don't know what the elevation is, 25, 30,000 feet, more or less. And when it's raining, the powers that be take advantage of this. And then what they do, I believe, because I've been ill. I was in Joshua Tree hiking, and during its, once-a-year rainstorm, once a year since they've been spraying, and heard the flights overhead very close, and felt ill. Felt like there's some quality. You got a psychic, you have a subtle body around you. You've got your intuition, but your body has its sort of, again, spiritual, subtle, electromagnetic. You know, it's got its larger intuiting mechanism using its physical capacity, but then augmenting that with, you know, whatever additional sensory means it has. And I felt ill. I didn't feel like it was healthy. I felt something was off. And I did, in fact, feel sick the next couple of days. And I don't know, you know, what was I sprayed with? Because it's my contention that what we see aerosolized so often now, when there are rainstorms, the contents of these tanker jets are basically just dumped into the cloud cover. It's probably a fine mist, but it's not the type of stuff that can create these artificial clouds that they do with the higher elevation spraying of possibly other substances. And so I, you know, what makes sense to me is that we're being sprayed with some different substance. And so I would, you know, given the yellowing I saw in some plants soon after the spraying in Joshua Tree, I felt, you know, that, hey, it could be Agent Orange or some defoliant or herbicide or some other pathogen that is harmful to life. And that was something that could not be as readily delivered, could not be readily delivered via the normal spraying program, and requires a lower dispersal that just mixes with the cloud, you know, with the rain, basically. It's easier to mask what it is, because if you're being rained on, you know, that's the thing, you know, when people are being sprayed, they just want to see the mist coming down. It's basically dry. But with something like this, it's probably wet. And so the only way to have it be cloaked would be to disperse it during times of rain. The school that I was considering applying to, I'm just going on, you know, just different things I'm considering here. School that I was considering applying to this past summer in the high desert here, there's a new cellular tower placed less than a mile from it that's strong and cloaked as a pine tree. It's a pretty good job of it. You know, I think the more detailed the fake trees are, the more expensive they are, but, you know, can't be as expensive as the health damage that it creates. But just one more reason to be happy that I didn't apply to that school to begin with, because the EMF was not good there anyway due to these two other towers, but this is even closer and more problematic. So, got lucky. This one school that I used to drive and visit, you know, at least drive by it, contemplate it for probably 4 years as I was living in other locations. It was 4 miles away. 4 miles away from the nearest tower, and I was willing to assign to it the status of the best EMF EMF levels of any public school in the state of California. It was extraordinary, you know. given how blown out I feel, it was like basically I was not exposed to anything because it was so much better than my typical, you know, unless I'm hiking deep into the wilderness, it would be very hard to come hard to find any other commercial or governmental facility with equal or better EMF exposure characteristics. And that too, after again the 4 years of my contemplating living nearby and working there, that a tower, a brutal one, in the form of a fake water tower went up a quarter of a mile from it, and the EMF levels of that site were then very bad. So, you know, just what little space we have is constantly being undermined, threatened, diminished, impoverished, sickened, debauched. So I don't know, as I wired more money yesterday to my offshore precious metals holdings, I use gold money right now. Oh, they have new management, and there are some people who have recommended that their funds be withdrawn, or their metals be withdrawn or taken from this particular managing operation, just because management has changed. But there aren't many other options out there, and I've done some research. There's supposed to be a firewall in terms of counterparty, you know, that there's no way a new management team could claim ownership or otherwise otherwise get between you and your metals. They might increase fees, in which case that's a whole other matter, and they haven't done that yet. You know, fees on storage or fees on selling the metals and having the proceeds wired to you as cash, or having the metals be sold and then fashioned in the form of bars and then shipped to you. You can do that, which is another reason why I like this operation. It's a lot of flexibility there. You can have the metals shipped to you anywhere, basically anywhere in the world. You just need to make sure there's a precious metals market there that you can sell your metals into if you need cash there. What's that? Not really. Okay, where was I? Talking about the sprain, I guess. Is that what I was talking about? Anything good to talk about? Because when the clouds broke, they did not look like the regular clouds that, you know, this is yesterday, our epic storm. That was not stringy. No, you know, cumulus. I mean, did not look like cumulus clouds. It was just this sort of amorphous, stringy shit. That is, I've been in real storms before, where they're just these massive thunderclouds, you know, coming over you, rolling over with some blues in between. You know, you just see these squalls, you know, coming down from different clouds, and even in fronts, you know, a front meaning some large pattern, you get more. There's more definition to the clouds and to the precipitation than what I. And you don't have all the air overflights. There are probably 6, maybe 10 flights I could hear yesterday. Very low, dumping whatever they were dumping. And I look around me today and just the clouds look disgusting. You know, just this hazy, matted crap that's, you know, as opposed to these light, yeah, I mean, I see a couple normal looking clouds, and then a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, the bulk, 90% of it is not, and that's above it. The bad stuff is above it as these sort of, just horizontal sheets blotting out the sky with wispy, wraith-like tentacles in all directions. And I was talking about, oh yeah, the money transfer. Who knows, you know? I'm not even in the mood to comment on precious metals right now. You know, I've invested in them. Supposedly it's a means of safeguarding wealth. But I bought some of the metals in the $40 or more range, and now it's down at $14. So, you know, it was losing 60 or 70% of your investment. Is that a good investment? You know? I get this. The thing is silver and gold have historically been, they've been money. And it's money that can't be counterfeited. It takes effort to mine and refine these minerals. As opposed to, you know, the fiat currency, the debt-based currency that our government sees fit to issue to us, that's backed by nothing. And so it is a kind of a political slash, you know, it's a political statement on my part. But when I get, the fatalism comes from waking up in the morning and expecting to see, deserving to see, needing to see sun, clear skies, as opposed to that guy. Expecting to see nature respected and to see life, to see birds, to see insects, to see clear air, beautiful healing rays of the sun, and then not to see that is what I have to deal with most of the time. You know, my aspiration for health and a healing environment is often met with frustration, rejection. Similarly, my hope or aspiration to see money that is this store of wealth, this medium of exchange being something that is beautiful and rare and real and not politically manipulated and used to, and this is the argument, you know, debt which is what it, the Federal Reserve note is, and its explosion, because it can be produced by keystrokes on a computer, has been used to take over the world. You use it to take over and to purchase up real assets, real companies all over the world. You loan it to people that you want to control, and becomes an instrument of control, because then they are indebted to you with something that costs nothing for you to create, and they have to pay it back in with stuff that's real. That has caused more damage, more chaos, more suffering in the world, more environmental pollution in the world, because it's funded wars, it's encouraged everyone to just dominate and to harm everyone. No one has to conserve resources, because you can just print them at will and steal them from your neighbor. And there's a lot less recklessness when people actually had to. I'm contending that there was much less recklessness without the fiat debt-based currency system that we have now. And so the argument that I've heard that I'm swayed by is, yeah, mining, yeah, you dig up the earth, you use chemicals to isolate the gold or the silver, and that has an environmental impact, but my understanding is that that impact is probably 1% or 2% of the negative, in terms of negative impact, 2% that of the wholesale destruction of the planet that has been promoted by debt-based currency. Because it's completely fueled overconsumption and abuse of resources. So I'm staying invested, and my time will come. I was hoping I wouldn't have to wait. Right now it's been 7 years, 7.5 years that I've been in the market of precious metals. But the thing is that prior to that, I was in stocks, and from the early 90s, when I first started investing in stocks, I was using the Calvert Prism retirement. It's basically, part of a 403B product, your tax-sheltered annuity, and you're invested in stocks that the Calvert, which is socially responsible, end quote, investment fund. They're supposed to screen corporations for ethical conduct. So you got this. You had this idea. I just have to make a parenthetical comment here that I can't even think anymore. I'm thinking for 20 seconds, and then all of a sudden my mind is like mush. And I can't put ideas together, and it hurts, and I just have to put this microcassette or this iPod down. And I'm just, it pains me. I'm on vacation, and I've had nothing but I've done everything I can to hike and to eat right and to sleep well, and this is the best I can do intellectually. It's pathetic. So that is one of the reasons why I'm pausing. And that was areas of reduced EMF along this back roads highway here. You know, you get your towers, but this is nothing like, you know, if I were driving in the city of San Bernardino on the 10, you know, in the midst of just a sea of antennas. This is nothing like that. But, so yeah, I was getting tired of just, you know, the contemplating the having to explain my feeling about stocks. I don't believe in stocks. I don't own stocks, and I don't believe in stocks. And I believe in corporate bonds. If you have a company and you need to borrow some money to do something, then I see, you know, getting a certain interest rate on that. Then I see that as, you know, or paying a certain interest rate on this debt that you've issued. I think I understand that. But with stocks, there's so much deceit, so much fraud in the cooking of the books to establish the price earnings per price per corporate earnings ratio or over corporate earnings ratio and all these other things that is subject to manipulation. And in my, from what I understand, and then I'll get back into Calvert again, tie it back into that, is when you issue stocks, it's like a gambling proposition. And there's a couple problems I have with it. One is you can instantly have access to so much money that then you can dominate a field and take over. Sort of behind the rationale for the issuance of stock is that bigger is better. And I don't agree. I don't agree. I think smaller, you know, small can be beautiful. And that you get to a certain level of efficiency, and then what? You want to have a market cap of 100 times more than that, so you can shave a nickel off of your production costs because of the scale at the expense of a whole lot of good jobs and market competition. I don't really know. We need to rethink that, is all I'm saying. I don't like the idea of people owning a company that aren't a part of the day-to-day operations of that company. There's something wrong with that because it leads to a moral or volitional problem, where, you know, your objective is maybe to maximize your profit, where that might not be what's best for the business, you know. And there's something about a reasonable price, you know, a reasonable price. You don't need to gouge, and you don't need to undercut every competitor out there. There doesn't need to be one hamburger stand and, you know, 10 of the same thing in a community. You know, you can have 5 or 6 different hamburger stands. And, you know, where we are right now is a place where profit is all that really is all that matters. And again, I don't support absent ownership of assets. It's not right. I believe that a business should be owned by, you know, maybe the person who put up the capital, you know, who started it and made it happen. Maybe that person should own the business, or by the business should be owned by the employees. So they have a vested interest in the success of the of the enterprise. And so they wouldn't, you know, what we have right now is, with all the cheap money floating about in the last decade, we've had an ocean of mergers and acquisitions. And what happens there is pensions and promises are broken, pensions are raided, and all the, you know, it is called, you know, there's asset stripping, is what it's called, where the new ownership just takes over and scavenges the operation and fires, you know. We have a situation now where stocks will go up. The stock price goes up when you fire 10,000 people. And I think that's wrong in general. And I don't have the time to analyze each company to see whether or not what they did was right. And all I know is that with the Calvert Prism and all these other, because I was doing other, PAX, P-A-X, World Fund, and all these other, there's other ones too. Dreyfus, Third Century, I think, Fund. There are a variety of ones that claim to, you know, be investing in businesses that were good for the environment or good for the employees or, I don't know, you know, any number of things. And I don't know if that's true or not. And the thing is we're in a rigged society now where the Federal Reserve and the government, which are the same thing now, they collude to determine winners and losers, and insiders take all. What I mean is that, you know, if you're someone who's, you know, you made $1 million contribution to a couple of congressmen, then you get sweetheart legislation that is going to give you, through bureaucratic, through the bureaucracies, through the regulations, you're going to have an advantage over your competitors because you own the people who wrote the rules by which your sector, your part of the economy is regulated. And you're going to have those regulations be such that you have an edge over everyone because they benefit you. You know, the location where you have placed your asset, you know, your, you know, I don't know, any whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, so this whole process is politicized and not trustworthy and engineered to work to benefit the few and the select, you know, and a select group. Not based on merit, but based on political alliances or conveniences. And so, you know, and plus this Calvert Prism thing and these others, they returned, I was getting, maybe after 8 years or 10 years or whatever it was that I was invested, you know, I probably was, when everyone else's fund was returning 8% or something or more, you know, I was, I got maybe 2% at most. And it was just ridiculous. And I just felt, you know what? The stocks were losers. Companies that were trying to do the right thing, even if, you know, if that's true and they were trying to do the right thing, well, they were not rewarded for it. You're punished by poor stock performance and poor outcomes, and you're going head-to-head with other companies that are being given government, you know, preferential regulatory and government treatment. So when the 2008 financial crisis hit, I liquidated my stocks. Not that I had a lot of them. You know, I forget now. Yeah, I had a retirement account. I don't know. I used some of it to, I think, buy a home, and I don't know what I did with it. But I sold it all. whatever I had, and I invested in precious metals because I was, what I was hearing was that stocks would go down and metals would go up, because this is part of the death of the petrodollar, the death of the U.S. debt, Federal Reserve note. It's not even a dollar, it's a Federal Reserve note, which is a debt that really can never be repaid, because it accrues interest, and that interest doesn't exist. It's a future obligation that really can never, you know, the debts can't be paid. I don't know, I'm not, you gotta look at some other people, Mike Mahoney, maybe some others. He's got a video on what the Federal Reserve does, and it's just an evil institution. So, so just let me recap this again. I don't want to own. From 2008, since 2008, I've decided, you know what, I'm not going to be an absent owner in someone else's enterprise. Although I do have Apple products in my, you know, computer, and I do a lot of business with Amazon or through Amazon, and both of those corporations have achieved enormous market caps of like $100 billion or more in size, and you know, they're the sweethearts of the establishment because they're part of this whole surveillance security state matrix that we live in now. Amazon, you know, all your viewing and your shopping habits recorded, tracked, analyzed, assessed, and then Apple, which is basically absolutely everything you do at the computer terminal, being turned over to government or other third-party agencies. And you know, even though I find there's a practical element in the use of these services that these two companies provide, I don't want to own their stock because I don't believe in stock. And I was sold initially and I'm hopeful it's still the case that there will come a day where precious metals are valued more highly relative to stocks in the U.S. dollar. The charts that I saw that I found compelling were different stock market crashes in the past, where there was something called the gold to the Dow Jones Industrial Average ratio. And we've had a couple of times in the past 100 years, a few times where you could get an ounce of 2 ounces of gold could buy the Dow, is what they call it. And what that means is, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average could be trading at $2,000. I mean, at 2,000, and gold's at $1,000. So that means you do a multiple of 2, and right now that multiple is like 17. So if it comes down to 2, what that means is that gold relative to stocks, gold will outperform stocks by a factor of 8 at some point. And I was thinking near future. Well, it's been 7 years and we're not there yet, you know, at all. You know, right now, again, it's like 1/8. I mean, 1/16, 1/17. And silver is even a multiple off of that, where right now silver is supposed to get down to 20 ounces of silver or 15 ounces of silver for 1 ounce of gold, and right now it's like at 80 ounces of silver. And so gold's going to outperform stocks eightfold at some point along the way, and silver will outperform gold by 4-fold or so. So silver could potentially, you know, if you do 4 times 8, you know, silver could outperform the stock market by 32 times, which is a huge, I mean, that's like, what does that mean? That's 3,200%. 32-fold is the potential there. So that's my hope. And then I'll sell some of it for whatever currency we've got at that time and trade, you know, get some development on my property. But the point being that silver is undervalued relative to gold, and gold is undervalued relative to the stock market. And both of those will reverse at some point. But we're throwing so many trillions of dollars into supporting stocks. Our government basically won't let the stock market go down because you know, so many vested interests are there wanting to keep it up. It keeps the card game going, the facade going. You know, people see the stock market up or at a good valuation and they think, hey, everything's fine. But I think that is a lie. That's another problem I have. Is for the last 20 years, I've been seeing every TV show, I mean, every news show you see, you know, we'll have like a trailing ticker on the bottom, you know, or at least periodically, where it's showing you the Dow Jones, you know, the stock, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And as if the whole country agrees that that is a common reference point for determining our quality of life, the health of our finances, and the brightness of our future. And I have always disagreed with that, and I've always thought it to be a form of propaganda to have this ticker tape of stock prices at the bottom of all these certainly business shows, but often you know, just newscasts. Certainly the major stations of, like, you know, CNN and these others. Because I think, what have I heard? I've heard, you know, 15%, only 15% of the public owns stocks. And so it's not even a measure that that the masses have any skin in. But but then people argue that the economy is so interconnected now and global and complex that everyone has a vested interest in the stock market being up because it's good for, you know, it's just good for business. It's good for, you know, the everyday Joe, whatever he does in his life, even if he doesn't own stocks, that elevated stock prices are good for the businesses that he engages with, you know, or whatever he's doing on a daily basis. It's that activity will be improved by a higher Dow Jones Industrial Average price. Which, if that's the case, then we need to get rid of it. We can't be subject to. It's not safe or moral to have our futures, or the fruit of our labor, be hijacked by, or ransomed, whatever the word is, you know, when you're threatened by some large entity like that, that then, you know, that's what happened in 2008, is these bankers said, you know what, if we fail, we're going to take the economy down with us. And that's where we got the phrase, too big to fail. And when something becomes so, it should have been dismantled right there, right then and there. And that's when I gave up too. I was among the reported 99% of the American public that said, do not give $16 trillion to the banks, which is what happened. It wasn't the $700 billion, that was a window, and it was replenished. It was $16 trillion or so that we gave. Whatever the case is, the American taxpayer was on the hook for derivatives and promises and bets made by these elitist financiers who are now responsible for the fake clouds above me, and they are disgusting looking. All that metal and bullshit up there. Unbelievable. With the waves of the harp radiation causing that rippling. Just disgusting. Not a normal, hardly a normal cloud in sight. So that too, you know, it's like I'd made the decision that if this is what our economy is about, then I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm going to go back to what Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and, you know, the founders of this country said was legal currency, which is real money. Money is an instrument that has no counterparty risk. It's an asset in itself. It's a tangible asset that you're carrying your wealth. It is not predicated. Its value is not predicated on someone else's promise to pay you something. It is value in itself, and that's what precious metals are to me. And so just, I view the chemtrailing and the aerosolization of our skies as being the U.S. dollar in its cloaking of the planet in toxic currency, dead instruments, and that is, it's almost as damaging as the aerosols, but they both are blanketing the planet and killing human potential. So I'm with righteousness, with God, with gold, with silver. I'm with whatever's real, with love and truth, honesty, organic foods, fresh air, sunshine, an intact ozone layer. I'm for all of that. And this cancer of debt finance growth that has occurred in the last 100 years has got to be reversed. Because what it's directly led to is a takeover of our entire planet by the Rothschild family and other elite banking families that are there. They're basically, you know, just puppets of the Rothschilds. And it's allowed this concentrated wealth and power to overtake our nation states. So we have things like the San Bernardino shooting, which was a false flag, you know, where multiple people saw three Caucasian military looking shooters there, you know, and it was a site of a, you know, there was a concurrent drill going on nearby, and that particular facility in San Bernardino had been used previously for what they call active shooter drills, you know, where I have an article that I started on it, but there's so many other tells there that this Muslim couple was not responsible for the shooting at all. And it was an act to put everyone into a state of fear, to be a rationale for the president to declare executive orders to remove guns from lawful citizens and to make it harder to obtain guns. And, so that the government can have a monopoly, an unconstitutional monopoly on power, and to further our agenda in the Middle East in going after, independent nation states in the Middle East that won't give our oil corporations sweetheart deals and on their oil reserves or pipeline deals, such as Syria or Libya or Iraq, or who are threatening or beginning to sell some of their oil for currency other than the U.S. dollar. For example, Chinese yuan or gold or Russian rubles. That's all against the rules according to the Wolfowitz Doctrine, which was when a U.S. neoconservative political figure, Paul Wolfowitz, who penned the Project for a New American Century with some other assholes, declaring that the new policy of the U.S. is to subordinate every nation on earth so that no nation on earth can present any viable challenge to the U.S. in any way. That's a policy? Fucking ridiculous. Is that free market? No. That's evil. That's not allowing the world to breathe. So yeah, the gold and the silver, they tie into the Constitution and to virtue and to real work and to a cancerous explosion of currency and debt and consumption. More balance. We'll have to dial back some of our living standards a bit. And that's all right. As long as the culprits, the evildoers, are held to account. And I'm not going to... If I'm going to become impoverished, I don't want it to be for no reason other than the enjoyment of the elites who just want to see, they want to see the destruction, the eradication of the middle class all over the world. They want an elite upper crust, and they want a subordinate slave class, an expendable mass of humanity that can never rise above the muck that it's in. That's what they want. That's it for now. So no stocks for me. Got it? And that's it for now.